Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. This is a program I've wanted to do for a long time with a guy I've wanted to do it with. I'm Alan Chartok. This week I'm delighted to talk with Assemblyman Herman Denny Farrell, a Democrat from New York's 71st District, who has just announced he will retire from the legislature after 42 years. Denny, so great to have you here. You know, so many people love you, and I am so glad and pleased that you could join us.
Thank you, Alan.
I guess the first thing I want to know is, since your name is Herman Denny Farrell, and everybody knows your name is Denny, everybody calls you Denny, does anybody ever come up to you and say, hello, Herman?
Oh, yeah. I tell my staff, if somebody calls and says I'm a friend of Denny, I'm a friend of Herman, say thank you very much. We'll get back to you.
We'll get back to you. Right. That's great. So you've decided to retire from the legislature. I'm very opposed to that. I just want to know why you're doing it.
Well, you know, there comes a time, I've always said, I want to make sure when I leave one day before I put the ice cream in my ear. I don't want to do it one day later. So I'm getting to that point of later. So I said, let me get out while I can.
Well, you know, you're brilliantly smart. And that is one of the things that so many people love about you. And you're also capable of analyzing almost anything that's going on. And you and I have had many conversations. I'd be on the bike every once in a while. Phone would ring and there you'd be. It was great fun to talk to you and get set straight. So, Denny, what were the biggest challenges you've had in your political career?
We haven't got the time, and there are many. I mean, I always enjoyed doing what I was doing. So even if it was a really active something, you know, getting somebody elected, getting something happening, getting a bill passed, answering questions, which I enjoyed, you know, the debates we would have. Each and every one of them were joyful, but so they were never negative. You know what I mean? I enjoyed them.
Denny, so there you were, representing Harlem in the assembly, parts of Harlem.
All of that in Washington Heights.
Washington Heights.
Ellen Value.
All of those years. Boy, you must have known an awful lot of the people who are in the history books right now.
Yeah, I guess so. Tell me which ones.
Well, here you are. You were a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, but there were people, you know, the Malcolm X's in the world and others who were going down a different road. How did you handle that?
Well, no, I got along. But actually, I was a young man when they were in their major point, and I outlived them. That's part of the problem, or not problem, part of the situation. I've found that, again, knowing people and being nice to people, you always got along. I got along with everyone. If I didn't get along with you, I found a way to walk around you or over you, whatever. But I made a point of using that as a style, just not sitting, you know, fighting with people all the time. No, just keep away from it.
You are the chairman, of course, of the very powerful Ways and Means Committee, the money-giving-out committee, and you've been there for quite a while. Was that figurehead, or did you really have power?
Oh, well, you have power because people think you have power. That's one of the first things I learned. That's why people walk around with three people looking over their shoulders, because if you look like you're powerful, then you're powerful. And I refused to walk around with anybody. I didn't use have somebody drive me. But if you do it enough, people will like you for being not powerful. That makes you powerful.
I got it. How did you get to be the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee?
A friend of mine, and now get into trouble, Shelley Silver, a wonderful human being. And I'm going to say that anytime anybody asks me, because he was and is. And he and I met back in the 1970s when we were both in the Supreme Court. He was working for a judge and I was working for a judge, and we became friends, and we met again in Albany, and we worked together. And when he became the speaker, he made me the Ways and Means.
So did he talk to you? Did he tell you why he was doing it?
No, actually, I was out of town. I had passed a bill, a bank bill. They opened up banking forever. And I then took a break, and I was out of the country when he became the speaker. And because Saul had died, and he became the...
That's Saul Weprin, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Saul Weprin. Yeah. And so, and he called me, and he said, we got to get somebody for Ways and Means. And he called, and I called out names because I'd made a deal with the caucus that it would be a person of color to be the next speaker. I mean, what's his name? So what he did is he went through it, and then he said, the only one worthy is you, and that's how I got it.
Wow. He said that to you, but he didn't say that to the other guys, I'll bet. You know, Mario Cuomo once said to me, when I said, you've got all these people who are grateful to you, and he said, yeah, you got 1,000 people who hate you because you didn't make them, and then you got the one guy who's an ingrate.
That's right. That's about it.
So you've always had to get along, Denny Farrell, with people, and you've described how you want to be nice to them. But you said something that I considered to be very telling. You said, I can walk around them or I can walk over them. When you walk over somebody, how do you do that?
you just go to something else. Sometimes, you know, you need something done and somebody's blocking, instead of, so you find somebody who's stronger than them to do what you need.
There's a group called the IDC, the Independent Democratic Conference. A lot of regular Democrats are very down on them because they think they've sold their souls for a few pieces of silver. And I wonder how you feel about it. They've been keeping the Republicans in power.
Well, I'm not going to go too far into it because one of the rules is stay out of the Senate's problems. We have our own in the Assembly. So I don't really go, but I don't like what's going on there. And, you know, the party is the party. And what's going on, one day off the record, I can talk an hour and a half on it, but I won't talk about it.
There are those people who think that there's some, you know, racism involved in this.
I'm part of that. Some of that, the part of that is true. But that's about it. No Senate troubles for me.
I don't want to spend my life
not answering my phone.
I just wanted to add here, you could comment on it or not, that Andrea Stewart Cousins, the very able leader of the regular Democrats, said to the governor, when you look at me, all you see is black skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most I get out of you? Uh-huh.
Yep. I am going to survive.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about Governor Cuomo. How's he doing?
He's doing fabulously. Because I get to see the numbers when we're talking about money as a Ways and Means person. And we've been tight since 2008. We've really been very tight because we're continued to move and the governor has been able to cut taxes and do things like that. But he's been able to do that. But if you walk or look around, it looks like with those commercials and everything looks great. I mean, he's building things. He's getting things done. I mean, that bridge, remember, everybody was talking about the bridge. It was going to be $15 billion. It was going to be $100 billion. And nobody wanted to start it. When he came in, he put it. They're opening it up tomorrow. They're opening it up tomorrow.
You're talking about the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge.
Yeah.
Did you think that was right for him to name it after his own father?
No. Yes. What do you mean? Mario and I, you were on his list too, right, when you got those 5:30, 6 o'clock telephone calls?
Indeed.
Yes. No.
Or 12 o'clock, which was worse. 5:30, 6 o'clock, I'm up. But 12:30 at night, I wasn't.
You were up. I was not an upper then, but especially if he was mad at you. battery was the earlier he called you. But I loved him, and we went back a long way now, so there's nothing wrong with that, what he just did. I think it is fabulous to give him the name of the bridge.
So we have the Summer of Hell. I know you live in Manhattan, of course, representing Harlem. You know, many of us are used to getting on that number one train or whatever else and going here and there. And the whole subway system seems to be foobar. What's going on?
Well, I have a problem, and I'll get into trouble for this one. I'm old enough to remember when they only had three cars, and there was a 93rd Street where you probably live, 93rd Street exit, and which was a station, not an exit. You remember that?
Yes, indeed.
That was bad. That was bad trouble. I remember that in the summer, you got on that train, you were going to sweat to death. So when people say things are bad, and you get into an air-conditioned train today, I don't know how bad it is. You know, there are problems with it, but the cars are clean. The train does have problems. I mean, there are things that still have to be done. But I don't think it's as bad as they say it is.
You are known for your sartorial splendor. You know, you're the best dresser in the legislature. Do you have to spend a lot of time on that?
Well, my father and mother were in the garment industry. I grew up in the garment industry, and my father was a tailor, my mother a dressmaker. We had a factory my father had back in the 1940s. So dressing was a thing that came with my father.
But it has gotten to be noticeable. I mean, everybody in the legislature knows that when they see you, you're going to be extraordinarily well-dressed. We could all take lessons from you.
I don't know. We had some young people now. We have a really grand group of young people in the legislature now, and they know how to dress, and they do a good. And, of course, the women, same thing. People learning it. So I don't feel that I'm special. I see a lot of very well-dressed people on the floor.
Now, we just had President Trump, post-Charlottesville, making some very controversial remarks. As a legislator of color, representing Harlem, what did you see around you when people heard those remarks, which basically you were saying, okay, people on both sides are sort of the same? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't know where this guy is. He's our president, and I will say our system works. I mean, whether we like it or not, you know, we'll survive him. But some of the things he's saying, I mean, he was trying to drive us back into the 30s and the 20s after the first war when trouble began to happen, lynching and everything. We have to be very careful because sometimes guys like him, I don't know what the hell he was trying to do, but you can't say, well, everybody's equal, including the Ku Klux Klan, you know.
And the Nazis, yeah.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. But so you got to, but after we would look around, you have to wonder whether he took his pills this day and they didn't take them the last time. I mean, because there's two of him every now and then. One says one thing, the next day somebody else says it. Same guy, but just different pill, I guess.
Do you think he's crazy?
No, I'm not going to call our president crazy. Crazy.
Okay. All right. So you're retiring. So what's next for you?
Well, I have a 12-year-old daughter. Her bat mitzvah is going to be in March of 18. So I've got to work on that. There's a whole lot of things that have to go on. There's a young man who's going to run to replace me. I'm going to work to help him get elected. And then we'll see after that what I'm going to do.
Are you sort of politically engineering it so that your assistant gets to be nominated in terms of when you resign and all the rest of it?
Oh yeah, I'm part of that. I'm working with him to get it done. As a matter of fact, recently there was an editorial in the Times on the setting up of it and everybody, because we use a county committee, which is 2,200 of people who are elected to be there in case of what we're doing. And the reason I'm leaving now is the chairperson of the Ways and Means has to come in. The speaker will have to pick one by November, because that's when we started working, because the things that have to be done, including the hearings and everything. So if he has to replace me early, you can't have him in January doing it, because then he or she, whoever is appointed, would have to work very hard to catch up and find out, learn while doing it. So by going out now, and it happens to be actually the anniversary, the 51st anniversary of my joining the state government. My first date, I started in 1966 on September 6th, which was the day after Labor Day. And my last day is the day after Labor Day.
So, Denny Farrell, who will take your place as the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee?
The one the speaker wants.
I thought I might get that. Are there people in contention?
Everyone wants it, and I should have warned them what it's good, but it's hard work.
Why is it so hard?
Well, no, I mean, it's just the mechanics. And then you have to get up on the floor and debate, you know, and you have a whole, you've got 2 feet of paper and bills, and you have to stand up and argue in the and debate, and you got to be able to keep that up, all that. I got my training, all of us from New Manhattan. You stood out, you hung out in the nights, in the evenings, when we were young, and we would insult each other because, different black, white, Latino, whatever. And we'd insult each other, but we learned how to do it and not get killed. So when you get on the floor, if you've had that training, you can handle the floor. But if not, you can get into a lot of trouble.
Denny Farrell, should there be term limits?
No, it's ridiculous. Because then power, the balancing of power, the power the governor has, the mayor has, is such that if every time you change him, you get a brand new group of people who don't know all of the things that are going on, and by the time they learn it, it's gone. You're out of here. If they had even if they had 3 cycles, like. If City Hall was 3 cycles, it might not be so bad, but just turning over. Recently, I heard them talking about there are not enough women in the city council, and they're going down in the next cycle. So they have to keep it going. So
City Hall, where I should point out, there are term limits.
You said, yes.
Yeah, there are term limits. Let me ask you about this. There's a big fight going on as to whether New York should have a constitutional convention or not, change the constitution. Where are you on that one?
I'm opposed to it. That's all we need. I think the changes that have to be made, we're making them. We've become electronic now. We've got it. I remember when we used to have to sit around in the 70s when we had to pass a bill or do something. We'd have to wait 3 days to print the bill to get us out of there, and you'd lock us in. You remember they used to lock us?
I do remember it.
Locked the legislators in so they couldn't get out and until they could get the bill printed and everything else. Now they can do it in 2.5 minutes because we've got the new electronics. We have the computers on our desk. So the things that need to be done to make us modern, but still at the same time be government, I think we can do it without having to go in. If we come in, you can never tell what happens.
So, Denny Farrell, here's a very small, silly question. Who is the best governor you ever served under, and why?
Oh, the best one was Mario. Mario And I think his son is doing, as I said, a very good job. He's keeping people thinking, keeping people happy.
Do you think the son is better than Mario or worse than Mario?
No, I won't say better. They were different types. They were different types. Andrew is really doing a good job of balancing the money very close. They're waiting now to see how he's going to pay for the bridge, but it's built. That's the important thing.
Well, now, there was Governor Patterson, a man of color, who really received short shrift. He was there for just a little while. He had been lieutenant governor under Elliot Spitzer. Then he gets to be governor. What are your remembrances of that?
I remember, he had been a very bright young man and is a very bright young man. And he moved up very quickly and was there. But I think he decided not to run because there's a lot of problems that you always pick up, and he was not prepared to do that.
Do you think it was the primary, the prospect of facing a primary that did him in?
Yeah, it might have been. I can't say exactly what it was, but I just think he decided he'd better, if you're going to run to be the governor, you've got to start at the age of birth on what you're going to do and when.
What do you think about Governor Pataki?
Pataki, he was the governor.
Say no evil. As Republicans go, though, you're a Democrat. As Republicans go, was he better than most, worse than most, or the same as most?
We only had one Republican governors in my 42 years.
Well, we did have Rocky.
43 years.
We did have Rocky, of course, but that was before your 43 years, right?
Yeah, I came in with the changing to Democrat.
Yeah. And on the question of gerrymandering in New York, we all know that the Senate gerrymanders, the Assembly gerrymanders. Is there a way to get rid of that thing? Have fair fights?
No, but what? You cannot get rid of it because it creates itself. Gerrymandering is you give me the people I want, and I give you the people you want. I don't know how you get around it. And why do you want to get around it? A legislator who is elected by the people, for the people, what do you want to do? You said because he's doing too good.
No. But we're almost out of time, Denny. But to me, the idea that somebody could be that legislators in the assembly, Democratic legislators, could draw basically their own districts. That doesn't seem democratic to me, or Republicans in the Senate.
Yeah, them drawing their own district.
Well, they do. That's the whole point.
Yeah, no, but why? What's wrong with doing that?
Because it's not fair. It's not an equal election.
No, fair to whom?
Fair to the people who are doing the voting so that they have honest choices.
You know what? I've said this over and over. People don't like you. They will get rid of you. And I mean, you make a mistake. You do something stupid in your district that the people don't like. You'll find out that they're not asleep. So if it's so bad, and people have been talking about it for a long, long time, nobody goes after anybody for doing it.
Well, I have to say this because we are out of time. One, it's inappropriate for me to say this, but I do love you. I do love you, Denny, and we so appreciate all of these years together when we've been talking to each other and everything else. And I do thank you. And you're quite a gentleman. It's wonderful to talk to you, and I'm so appreciative you spent this time with us.
Thank you, very much. It's been a friend to be on being with you for over 40 years is really good. Glad to do it, and thank you very much.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. online at nyscasa.org.